Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today, we continue in our series from the book of Hebrews, and we're glad that you're with us. So if you have your Bible or your Bible app, you're all set, we're all set, and Bob Christopher, I'm assuming you're set.
Yes, sir. We are set and ready to go. Hebrews chapter 8 today. And boy, this is a pivot point in the book of Hebrews. Last week, we worked through, marched through the verses of chapter 7. We learned a lot about Jesus and the priesthood that he has, the superiority of his priesthood over the Levites. And in that chapter, we learned a little bit about this new covenant. We learn that Jesus is the guarantor of a better covenant. We learn that the old covenant was weak and useless, that it's been set aside, that it's given way to this new covenant. And we also learn that when there is a change of the priesthood, there is a change of the law. And that's necessary. That's not just, hey, let's go do this. This change of the priesthood necessitates a change of the law. So today in chapter 8, we're going to look at what that law has been changed to, how it's gone from the old to the new.
Yes.
And this really is an exciting chapter. I mean, all of them in Hebrews are exciting, but this really is kind of the centerpiece of the entire book. So from start to finish, this book is about Jesus. So we've had all of these prophets of old that have been moved by the Holy Spirit to help unfold the story. And all that was unfolded back then was really a shadow of what was going to come in the person of Jesus Christ. So now we have the real thing. Jesus is here. He's the Son of God, the Son of Man. And so he's far superior than any other messenger, which means his message is going to be far superior. So as John wrote in his gospel, the law was given to us through Moses or by Moses, but grace and truth have come to us in the person of Jesus Christ. So the law, that was the old covenant. That was that covenant that God made between himself and the people of Israel. That has been set aside. That was the one that was weak and useless. We're going to find out exactly the reason for that today, but it has given way to this new covenant, this grace and truth that are found in the person of Jesus Christ. So let's dive in. And we're going to read through this entire chapter verse by verse. We're going to stop along the way and make different comments. But I think when we get to the end, you're just going to jump out of your shoes in excitement and joy learning what this new covenant really is. And it's the new covenant that you live in, folks. It's the fact that you are a new covenant believer. So in verse 1 of chapter 8, now the point in what we're saying is this. So for 7 chapters, he's been making a point, and he says, we're going to get to it right now. We have such a high priest, one who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. So Jesus Christ is our high priest, he is your high priest, and he is seated at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. So that exalts him, that puts him in a whole different realm than those Levitical priests. So he is far superior. And at that position, he is a minister in the holy places, in the true tent that the Lord set up, not man. Now, Richard, this is a reference to the tabernacle that Moses built.
Yes.
That they carried with them in the desert, and then also the temple that Solomon built.
Mm-hmm.
So there were some exact specifications for how they were to build that, but that was all modeled after the real tent, the one that was in the heavenlies.
Yes.
And that's where Jesus is. The high priest was just in, the replica. The shadow.
In the model.
Yes, in the model. Jesus is in the real thing.
Yes.
So what he's doing there is going to bring real benefit to you and me. The stuff that the Levites did, that simply covered us over, shielded us. So the blood of bulls and goats covered us. But what Jesus has done has taken away our sin once and for all, and connects us to the reality of who he is. So there's this true tent, one that the Lord has set up. That's where Jesus Christ is. For every high priest is appointed to offer gifts and sacrifices. Thus, it is necessary for this priest also to have something to offer. Well, so the priest of old, they brought in animal sacrifices. They at times brought in grain sacrifices and those sort of things. Jesus Christ just brought in himself. He is the gift that he has offered on our behalf. And so if he's offered himself, we can guarantee that the benefits of that gift far surpass anything in the old covenant. So thus it is necessary for this priest also to have something to offer. Now, if he were on earth, he would not be a priest at all, since there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. So he wouldn't make the grade to be a Levitical priest, would he?
No, because he wasn't from Levi.
That's exactly right. So that was a hereditary thing. Mm-hmm. So God tapped Moses on the shoulder and Levi on the and Aaron on the shoulder and said, "I'm going to set you apart as priest." And they had come from the line of Levi. And so the high priest came from the line of Aaron. And so that just passed on from generation to generation to generation to generation. And then the other offspring of Levi served as priests in other capacities.
Yes.
Now, anyone outside of the bloodline of Levi was disqualified from this position. They could never hope to be a priest. Mm. They could never aspire to be a priest. They could never study to be a priest. It was just a bloodline thing. Jesus was of the tribe of Judah. We learned that last chapter. And there's nothing in the Old Testament that speaks of priests coming from the line of Judah. So Jesus wouldn't have made the cut as far as the Levitical priesthood. But he was not in that order. He was in the order of Melchizedek. And he is our priest forever, which means the benefits of this gift that he gave himself are eternal in nature. So anything that Jesus has accomplished for you, the fact that he has taken away your sins once and for all, and that you stand as a forgiven person before him, means that you are forgiven eternally. The fact that you have been given life everlasting, it is eternal life. The fact that you have been saved, it is a complete and forever salvation. And let me tell you, folks, that's what we call good news here at Basic Gospel.
It is indeed. And friends, you're listening to Basic Gospel, of course, and we're in the midst of a very exciting study through the book of Hebrews. And if you've joined us late, or if you miss any of the live sessions of this study, you can catch up by accessing the program archive under the radio drop-down menu at basicgospel.net. It's the very first item on that particular list. Just click the radio drop-down menu, and you'll find the archive right there. Catch up, and we'd love for you to continue with us.
Well, thanks, Bob. So picking up in verse 5 of chapter 8 of the book of Hebrews, we read this: "They serve a copy and shadow of the heavenly things. For when Moses was about to erect the tent, he was instructed by God, saying, 'See that you make everything according to the pattern that was shown you on the mountain.'" So Moses did that, didn't he, Richard?
Yeah, absolutely. Down to the last detail.
Yeah. I mean, just granular in detail.
Yes.
And he followed every single instruction on how to put this tabernacle together. Mm-hmm. And the same was true of Solomon when he built the temple. But those were just shadows of the reality, not the reality themselves. And that is so important for us to understand. There's so many people today that are still worshiping in the shadows, or actually worshiping the shadow.
Yeah.
They're missing the real thing. and a shadow has no substance whatsoever. None. So if you're worshiping the shadow, worshiping the law, if you're standing at that altar and saying this is where life is to be found, you're getting nothing. You're getting absolutely nothing. Why? Because the reality is found in Christ Jesus. So he says in verse 6, but as it is, Christ has obtained a ministry that is as much more excellent than the old as the covenant he mediates is better, since it is enacted on better promises. So they had a ministry. Mm-hmm. It served a purpose, and they faithfully executed that ministry from one generation to the next generation. But now Christ is on the scene, and he is superior in every way, shape, or form. He's the Son of God, the Son of Man. He was sent to us by God the Father himself. So he's superior, which means the ministry that he is doing is superior. And here's the reason. Because this new covenant, the one that he is ministering to us today, is enacted on better promises. Now, that should get your attention. You know, there's promises, and then there's better promises. So which do you want? Do you want the promises, or do you want the better promises? And I think if you're smart, you're going to say, I want the better promises.
Yeah.
Well, the rest of this chapter is going to be about those better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. So there were some promises in that old covenant. If you obey all of my statutes and commandments, then I will be your God and you will be my people. And Deuteronomy chapter 28 lists out all the blessings of obedience to that old covenant, but it also lists out all the curses for disobedience to that covenant. And the curses outnumbered the blessings, I think, 2-1, maybe 3-1, in that particular chapter. And where Israel found themselves was swimming in the sea of curses. Why? Because they were unable to live up to their end of the bargain of keeping all of the statutes and commandments that God had given them. So they very rarely swam in the sea of blessing. It was the sea of curses where they lived most of their lives. And that's exactly what he says, for he finds fault with them. So it wasn't the covenant that was bad. Paul said the law is holy, righteous, and good, and it has to be, doesn't it?
Well, yes. I mean, God stated it. So everything God states is true and good and righteous. If there's a problem, it can't be his.
It can't be his. He penned it with his finger. Mm-hmm. He put those commandments on stone with his very own finger. So we know it has come from God, so it has to be good. So the problem with that old covenant was not the covenant itself. It was the fact that the people were unable to keep it. So he finds fault with the people. Now, if you're trying to keep that old covenant, if you're trying to live up to the Ten Commandments as your means for gaining a righteous standing before God, it's going to find fault with you as well.
Yes.
Why? Because you're going to fail. Even if you fail at one point, you have violated the entire covenant. So we're going to find fault with you as well. I tried to live up to the law. You've tried to live up to the law. Just doesn't work, does it?
No.
So we have to realize that that's why a new covenant was sought after. And here the writer goes back to the Old Testament, to Jeremiah, and he quotes Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was prophesying about a time that was going to come when a new covenant was going to be made between God and his people. Well, why would Jeremiah prophesy if that old covenant was sufficient? If that old covenant could make the people perfect? Well, it couldn't. It was weak and useless on that point, as we learned in chapter 7. So a new covenant was being sought after. So here, I love the genius of the writer of Hebrews. He is making the case that Jesus and the new covenant is where we need to be. So we need to recognize that everything that came before was pointing us to this particular point, to Christ himself and to the new covenant that he ushered in through his death on the cross. And there's a lot of people, a lot of Jewish people that were hearing that message, and they were shrinking away from it. They were saying, no, 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 we're going to go back to the law. We're going to go back to the old sacrificial system. We're going to go back to our life in Judaism. And here, like I said, the brilliant move that the writer of Hebrews makes, he says, well, wait a minute. You say you're going to go back there, but let's look at what one of your very own prophets have said. He has said that there's a time when a new covenant is going. So if you want to shrink back into Judaism, listen to what your prophets say, because they're going to tell you not to shrink back from Jesus, to go forward in faith with Jesus. So in essence, if you are rejecting Jesus and this new covenant, you are rejecting the word of the very prophets that you hold in high esteem.
In fact, you are rejecting the old covenant itself.
Yes. Yeah. Brilliant.
Bingo.
Absolutely brilliant on the writer of Hebrews' part. So let's get into what this new covenant is. Behold, the days are coming, and this is just a retelling of the prophecy in Jeremiah. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. So it's not just for the people of Israel, although it seems to indicate that. This new covenant is for anyone who comes to faith in Jesus Christ. It's for the people of God. Paul was a minister of the new covenant.
Yes.
Hosea even talked about the fact that there is this covenant for people who are not my people.
Yes.
Folks outside of Israel, Gentiles, you and me. So this is a covenant that is for all of us. And it's a covenant that God makes and declares it to be so. There's no obligation on our behalf. It's simply his will for you and me. Mm-hmm. So he says, it's not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, for they did not continue in my covenant. So they violated. They were in breach of contract.
Yes.
And so he said, I showed no concern for them, declares the Lord. But for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declare the Lord. And here's the four better promises that this covenant is enacted upon. First, I will put my laws into their minds and I'll write them on their hearts. Big difference. The commandments were written on stone, external. Now they're written on our hearts, internal. Now, it's not the same commands. God didn't write the Ten Commandments on our hearts. As Paul wrote in Romans chapter 2, we Gentiles, we already knew internally what those Ten Commandments were. That's just part of the human makeup. We kind of know what's right and wrong. And we see that in every culture that's ever been. So it's not those Ten Commandments that he's written on our hearts. It's the commandments of faith, hope, and love.
Yeah.
It's a belief in Jesus, a hope in this gospel message that is expressed in love one for another.
Yeah. Well, friends, if you've joined us in progress, you're listening to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. I'm Bob Davis, and this is our study through the book of Hebrews. Glad you're with us today. Just a quick note that if you have questions about this study or something else, or if there's some other topic you'd like us to discuss this coming week on Basic Gospel, just let us know. Give us a call at 844-322-2742 or send an email to bob@basicgospel.net. That's bob@basicgospel.net or the universal phone line 844-322-2742.
Yeah, so promise number one is that we're going to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and that he is going to put faith, hope, and love in our hearts. And promise number two, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So this is just a declaration.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not dependent upon us. This is just God declaring something to be so, which is great news. That's assurance. Right. So once you've come to faith in Jesus Christ, you're a part of the family of God forever. You are in his hands. You are in the Lord's hands, and no one can snatch you out. You have been marked out as his forever. They shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. Now, this is such good news. We talk about Christianity being a personal relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ, the Son, and that's exactly what it is.
Yes.
We get to know the God of this universe in a personal and intimate way, and that's eternal life, as Jesus said, mm-hmm. and this is eternal life, that you know God and the one whom he sent. So our knowledge of the Lord, growing in our knowledge of Christ, is experiencing this eternal life here and now. And then the fourth promise is this: for I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. Wow. Just wow. The fact that we stand before God as forgiven people, and that God himself remembers our sins no more. Boy, we drag up old sins all the time. We put them right in front of us. We feel guilty and shameful and fearful and all of those things every time we drag them up. But God never does that.
Oh.
He remembered them 2,000 years ago at a cross called Calvary. Jesus became sin for us, and then he was buried. But on the third day, he was raised back to life. And so in this new life, God remembers our sins no more. What a promise. And as the writer said earlier, that's a better promise than anything in the old. So in speaking of this new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. And what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. So folks, Jesus has come. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of Man. He is your high priest. He has offered himself once and for all to take away your sins. He has enacted this new covenant. That's the covenant that is in place today and will be in place forever. It has four promises that will change your life. Get rooted and established in this new, and you will see life abundant flowing through you every day of your life. If you're struggling with that old, do exactly as Jesus did. Set it aside and fully embrace this new covenant that is your covenant in the Lord Jesus Christ.
What is old and obsolete is ready to disappear.
Yes, it is. So let's push it out there.
Push it out there.
Make it disappear.
Yeah. Well, friends, we're so glad that you're with us today for this study through the book of Hebrews on Basic Gospel. If you've missed any of the sessions along the way, you can access the program archive through the radio drop-down menu at basicgospel.net. It's the first option under that menu, the radio drop-down menu at basicgospel.net. Please keep in mind as well that Basic Gospel is listener-supported. Your gifts through this ministry mean that others will be able to hear the life-changing and liberating truth of the love, grace, and life of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, and hear it every day. To make a gift to Basic Gospel, click Donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742. We would love for you to partner with us here at Basic Gospel. It's the good news that quite frankly, we broadcast every day. So again, donate at basicgospel.net or phone 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all the ministry team, Bob Davis with your invitation to join us again on Monday for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.